This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إنه من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله رحمة للعالمين وقدوة للمؤمنين ومحجة للسالكين وحجة للعباد أجمعين أنار الله به العقول وشرح به الصدور وفتح به أعينا عميا وآذانا صما وقلوبا غلفا فاللهم اجزه خير ما جزيت نبيا عن أمته ورسولا عن دعوته ورسالته وصل اللهم وزد وبارك عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وعلى جميع من استن بسنته واقتفى بأثره إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فأوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله تعالى فإنه من يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب. All praise is due to Allah alone. In Him we seek aid and assistance, and to Him we turn both in repentance and for forgiveness. Truly, He whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, none can mislead, and He whom Allah leaves to go astray, there is none who can guide. And I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship save Allah alone, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is both His servant and His messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us with different responsibilities and obligations to a variety of people in our lives. The husband has his obligations to his wife, and the wife to the husband, the neighbors to each other, those in power and in authority to those over whom they rule, and so on and so forth. But of the greatest of these obligations that He has placed upon mankind is the obligation of one to their parents. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises this obligation, this right, alongside or to be mentioned only after His right subhanahu wa ta'ala to be worshipped. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. That your Lord has decreed that none should be worshipped save Him, and to have excellence to your parents. And throughout the Quran, Allah reminds us and shows us the example of prophets in relation to their parents. He mentions and describes Prophet Yahya alayhi salam. And he mentions, وَبَرًّا بِوَالِدَيْهِ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ جَبَّارٌ عَصِيًّا. That he was dutiful to his parents, and he was not a disobedient tyrant. And he mentions the words of Isa in a miracle in his cradle when he says, وَبَرًّا بِوَالِدَتِي, that God has made me dutiful to my mother. And he mentions the dua of Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam, رَبِّ أَوْزِعْنِي أَنْ أَشْكُرَ نِعْمَتَكَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتُ عَلَيَّ وَعَلَى وَالِدَيَّ. My Lord, enable me to be grateful for your favor which you have bestowed upon me, and also to be grateful for my parents. And he mentions the dua of Nuh alayhi salam, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِمَنْ دَخَلَ بَيْتِيَ مُؤْمِنًا. My Lord, forgive me and my parents and whoever enters my house a believer. And of all the examples of the prophets, what stands out the most is the example of Al-Khalil alayhi salam, Prophet Ibrahim, the intimate friend of Allah Azza wa Jal, tested with a father who would worship idols and promote idolatry and build the idols. And Allah gives us this example, and we see in it a series of verses of Prophet Ibrahim speaking to his father in the most loving of terms, Ya Abati. Each verse with a piece of advice, and he says, oh my beloved father, Ya Abati. The most loving formation of addressing the father is on the tongue of Ibrahim. Ya Abati, lima ta'budu ma la yasma'u wa la yubsiru wa la yughni anka shay'a. My father, why is it that you worship that which does not hear and does not see and will not benefit you at all? Ya Abati, inni akhafu an yamassaka 'adhaban min ar-Rahman fatakuna lish-shaytani waliya. Oh my dearest father, I am fearful that you will be touched with a punishment from the Most Merciful, and that you would be a companion to the devil. And despite the beautiful manners of Ibrahim speaking to his father with this most eloquent and loving form of speech, his father responds back to him with harshness, with a threat of death. Ya Ibrahim, la in lam tantahi la arjumannaka wahjurni maliya. O Ibrahim, if you do not desist, I will stone you. I will kill you by stoning you. And so abandon me. And in response to his oppressive father, again he responds with kindness, with humility, with piety. قال سلام عليك. He said, peace be upon you. سأستغفر لك. I will seek for your forgiveness. فأستغفر لك ربي. I will seek my Lord for your forgiveness. Beseech my Lord for your forgiveness. إنه كان بي حفيا. Indeed, he has always been gracious to me. So all the prophets, no matter the status of their parents, whether their parents were righteous or not, whether their parents were kind-hearted or not, all of the prophets strove to treat their parents with kindness and excellence and piety. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we mentioned, brings close the meanings and strikes the analogy in our mind, or brings the height of filial piety after only the reminder of the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Worship your Lord and associate none in worship with Him, and show excellence and beauty to your parents. And because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَنِشْكُرُ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ. Be grateful to me and to your parents. Ibn Abbas said, فَمَنْ شَكَرَ لِلَّهِ وَلَمْ يَشْكُرْ لِوَالِدَيْهِ لَمْ يُقْبَلْ مِنْ. He said, because of this verse, whoever is grateful to Allah but not grateful to their parents, it will not be accepted from them. And this is because the parents are often the vehicle of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives. Allah created us, brought us into this world through the medium of our parents. And so much of the mercy we attain in this world came through our parents to begin with. When a man asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the greatest deeds, the best deeds a man can do, he said, "As-salatu ala waqtiha, thumma ay qala birru al-walidain." He said to pray at its time. Then he was asked, "What next?" He said, "To be pious to your parents." There's an undeniable link between the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on one hand and our dutifulness to our parents. And there is nothing after the worship of Allah Azza wa Jalla, or establishing our prayer, more important than being dutiful to our parents. And for this reason, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kullu dhunub yughfar. Kullu dhunub yaghfiru Allahu ma sha' wa yu'adhibu ma sha'." All of the sins, God will forgive whatever He wills, and God will punish whatever He wills, except for one sin, except for, he says, illa uquq al-walidain, except for being undutifulness, abusive to your parents. He said, فَإِنَّهُ يُعَجِّلْ لِصَاحِبِهِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا قَبْلَ الْمَمَاتِ. Allah will hasten the punishment for this person in this life before the next life. In another hadith, the Prophet said, أَكْبَرُ الْكَبَائِرِ, the most major of the major sins, the worst of all the major sins, al-ishraku billah, worshipping other than Allah, wa'uquq al-walidain, and being oppressive, unjust, abusive to your parents, wa-shahadat az-zur, and to bear false testimony. These are the worst of all of the sins, the worst of all the major sins. And the Prophet continued to repeat this over and over and over again, until the companions who were sitting there, they said, "We wish the Prophet would stop," because they understood the gravity of the words of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, رِضَ الرَّبْ فِي رِضَ الْوَالِدِ وَسَخَطِ الرَّبْ فِي سَخَطِ الْوَالِدِ, that the pleasure of your Lord is found in the pleasure of your parents, and the anger of your Lord is found in the anger of your parents. We know the hadith, when the man came to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, He said, Ya Rasulullah, man ahakku bi husni sahabati. O Messenger of Allah, who has the greatest rights for my companionship, for my time, for my being in their company, of all the people I deal with, O Messenger of Allah, my boss at work, for whom I get money, or my business associates, or my friends, or my children, or my wife, who has the greatest right to my companionship? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, Ummak, your mother. It's as if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, if you have one smile, give it to your mother. If you have one gift, give it to your mother. If you have one free hour, give it to your mother. If you don't have the ability to spend time with anyone the entire week, make sure at least you spend it with your mother. Ummak, thumma ummak, thumma ummak, thumma abik. Your mother, then your mother, then your mother, then your father. This is the attitude of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our Prophet who begged Allah's permission to be allowed to visit the graves. And had he sallallahu alaihi wasallam not done so, it would have been prohibited upon us to visit the graves. He begged for Allah's permission to visit the graves. And then he said to the companions, I had prohibited you from visiting the graves. Now Allah has given me permission. And the first thing he did, he went to the grave of his mother and he began to cry sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One day as our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is dividing the spoils of war amongst the people, an old woman comes to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet drops everything. And he lays out his robe on the ground. And he orders that some milk is brought forward. And he leaves all the people, the soldiers, the leaders of tribes, the important chiefs. He leaves them all aside. And he sits with this old lady. And the people are wondering, who is this woman? This old lady that the Prophet would abandon everyone around him and go and sit and serve this woman. And they found out it was the wet nurse of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ummuhu min ar-rida'a, his mother from breastfeeding. If this was the way of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his wet nurse, what would the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have done to his own mother? How would he have honored her and respected her? And we see this throughout the seerah of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the reminder to people of the importance of their parents. A man comes to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asking to fight with him, traveling from Yemen to Medina, a long distance, going through valleys and climbing mountains to arrive at the doorstep of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we think our Prophet was leading this community in Medina. He was the leader, the president of this community, the leader of their army, surrounded by enemies. To see a young man approach him and say, I want to fight with you, you would think the first thing our Prophet would ask him, are you strong with weapons? Do you have experience fighting? Can you ride a horse? How can you be of use of me in my army? The way that any person of the dunya would think. But this is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What did he say to him? The first question, Alaka is your mother alive? The man said, yes, I left my mother behind. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, قَالَ أَتُرِيدُ الْأَجْرُ وَالْمَثُوبَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Are you seeking the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is that what you are looking for? The man said, yes. He said, قَالَ إِرْجَعْ إِلَيْهَا فَأَحْسِنْ إِلَيْهَا فَثَمَّ الْجَنَّةِ. He said, go back to her and be excellent of your treatment of her, for that is where paradise is. You want your reward from Allah Azza wa Jal? Go back to your mother. The Prophet is telling him, paradise is not here with me. Not even fighting in this noble cause, if it means abandoning your mother alone. Go back to her and serve her, and that is where you will find Jannah. Another man came to the city of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to live in his company, to learn from his knowledge. And the Prophet ﷺ doesn't ask him, did you come to this city with money? Because we in Medina are suffering with poverty. He said, he didn't ask him, are you coming with knowledge? Are you a doctor, a carpenter, an ironsmith, someone to help us build the city? All the things that a leader running a city would be concerned with primarily. No, the Prophet ﷺ said to him, كَيْفَ تَرَكْتَ أَبَوَيْكَ. How did you leave your parents? You came here to learn, to study, to learn your deen, but let me ask you a more important question. How did you leave your parents? In what state? قَالَ تَرَكْتُهُمَا يَبْكِيَانَ. He said, I left them crying. I left them and they were crying that I left them. The Prophet ﷺ said, إِرُجِعْ إِلَيْهِمَا وَأَضْحِكُهُمَا كَمَا أَبْكَيْتُهُمَا. He said, go back to them and make them laugh just as you have made them cry. Go back and make them happy just as you made them sad. Make them laugh just as you have made them cry. This was the level of appreciation for our parents that our Prophet ﷺ insisted upon. And it took precedence over all things other than the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is important for us to understand in our lives, that we prefer our parents in our lives and serve them and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through this way. فَأَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ لِي وَلَكُمْ أَسْتَغْفِرُهُ إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. Just as we spoke in the early part of this khutbah about the rights of parents and the importance of children to obey their parents, I want to mention some issue that I feel is quite important. And an issue that we don't speak about quite often. We shy away often from mentioning the rights of children for a number of reasons. Number one, most children lack in their dutifulness to their parents. And it is more rare to be the opposite way. And we fear to give a license to children to harm their parents or to exceed in being undutiful to them. But the reality is, there are parents who use the religion to sometimes abuse their children. So they tell their child, if you don't obey every single thing I say to you, then you're going to the hellfire. This happens in some homes. And it can cause significant harm. We as Muslims are obliged with birr al-walidain, to be dutiful to our parents. Birr does not necessarily mean ta'ah. Dutifulness or piety to our parents does not necessarily mean obedience to them. It can mean obedience, but not always. There are limitations to the obedience of the parent, and we should understand this. I'll give you some examples. A sister came to me, and she has developed severe anxiety because her mother treating her in a certain way, where she, you know, instructs her to do certain things in her life, and if she doesn't do so, she curses her and she makes dua against her, even physically attacks her. A brother mentioned to me, his mother tries to control every aspect of his life. She is the one who forced him to marry who he married. She is the one who forced him to do many things in his life. And, you know, he's confiding in me anger that he has because of this. So I want to clarify some issues. Again, we are obliged with birr al-walidain, which is often translated as obedience to the parents, but it's not. It's piety to the parents, which is a higher level than obedience, in fact. Because you can obey someone and hate them. Your boss at work, you might obey him and hate him. No, that would not be birr, right? Birr, piety to your parents, has this meaning of mercy and empathy and affection and excellence and ihsan. Uquq, the opposite of birr, abusiveness, is to ruin and corrupt something. They would say, عاق الماء. The water has become عاق, meaning it's become spoiled. So that's corrupting the relationship with the parent. So we should say, generally speaking, you should obey your parents, but there are limitations. What are the limitations? First of all, obviously, if the parents ask you to do something haram, if they tell you to do something that is impermissible, to lie, to cheat, to steal, to give false witness, the Prophet ﷺ said, لَا طَاعَةَ لِمَخْلُوقٍ فِي مَعْصِيَةِ الْخَالِقِ. There is no obedience to a creation, to a created being, when it involves disobeying the Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this happens often in our community. For instance, the father cuts off his brother. Then he tells the children, you're not allowed to speak to your uncle. This happens sometimes. So now obeying the father, you would be doing haram, because part of your duties as a Muslim is to connect to your family, right? Ibn Uthaymeen mentions this example. He said, the children should not obey their father, but tudari bihima, to, you know, not necessarily confront him about it. Speak to the uncle privately, connect to him privately, and, you know, if the father asks, just make up an excuse. The second point, if your parents ask you to do something that will cause a significant harm to you, an example of this is a sister who was suffering back pain, severe back pain. And she went to the doctors and they said she needed to do a type of spinal surgery, otherwise she would be living with significant back pain. Her parents refused this. They said, if you get surgery, people will find out about it and your marriage prospects will be in jeopardy. People will wonder, oh, her health is a problem, don't marry her. So she went to some mashayikh and asked this question, what do I do? And the scholar said, this is an issue that will cause you harm, in which case it is permissible for you to disobey them. And this is similar and common in situations where the parents meddle into the children's marriage. They force them to buy a house. Sometimes they force the child to buy a house that is too expensive for the child. They can't afford it. And the parents say, no, you have to buy it, because the parents' pride and honor is on the line. Or sometimes they tell the children, you have to get pregnant right now and have children. And maybe the children have something in their life. One sister mentioned to me, her husband had, you know, severe issues, mental health issues. They wanted to wait for him to get treatment and then have children. And the parents are insisting, no, you have to have children right now. So now you're causing harm for the child. Does the child have to obey? And we say no. A man came to Imam Ahmad and he said, إِنَّ أَبِي يَأْمُرُنِي أَنْ أُطَلِّقْ زَوْجَتِي. My father is commanding me to divorce my wife. And so Imam Ahmad said to him, لَا تُطَلِّقُهَا. Do not divorce her. The man said, didn't the Prophet ﷺ command Abdullah ibn Umar to divorce his wife when Umar ibn Khattab told him to divorce his wife? This indeed did happen. Umar ibn Khattab told his son, Abdullah ibn Umar, divorce your wife. And Abdullah ibn Umar went to the Prophet and said, my father is telling me to divorce my wife. And the Prophet ﷺ told Abdullah ibn Umar, divorce your wife. So he came to Imam Ahmad, he said, didn't this happen? Imam Ahmad said, yes. He said, وَهَلْ أَبُوكَ مِثْلُ عُمَرٍ. But is your father like Umar? Umar radiallahu anhu is not going to tell his son to divorce his wife for no reason. He's going to tell his son to divorce his wife if there's a shara'i reason, there's an Islamic justification. He said, your father is not Umar. Okay? So in your case, your father is coming into your marriage telling you to divorce your wife? No, don't listen to him. So in areas where harm is going to be caused to the child because of the command of the parents, the child does not have to obey. One caveat here, what constitutes harm has to be according to the Sharia. In today's day and age, they want to call everything they don't like harm, everything they don't like violence. No, has to be according to the Sharia. So you would seek the opinion of a scholar for this. Third point, let's say the parents are commanding you to do something that does not benefit them and maybe does not harm you. So for example, The son wants to study law, and the parents want him to study medicine. This does not directly involve the parents. It does not directly benefit them. At the same time, it does not necessarily harm the child. Or let's say the child wants to buy the Honda Civic, and the parents are saying, no, you have to buy the Toyota Camry. Again, it does not directly involve the parents. It does not directly benefit them. At the same time, it does not harm the child. Here the scholars say that it is mustahab. It is preferred to obey the parents. It's not necessarily an obligation, but it's preferred, and they will be rewarded. If you buy the Toyota, even though you want the Honda, you will get reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because you're doing it to please your parents. If you wanted to study law, but you say, fine, I will study medicine because it will make my parents happy, you will be rewarded in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is important for people to understand. Ibn Taymiyyah, he said, يُلْزَمِ الْإِنسَانِ طَاعَةُ وَالِدَيْهِ مِنْ غَيْرِ مَعْصِيَةٍ وَإِنْ كَانَ فَاسِقَيْنِ. He said, it is imperative for the person to obey their parents as long as the parents are not telling them to disobey Allah, even if the parents themselves are sinful. وَهَذَا فِيمَا فِيهِ مَنْفَعَةٌ لَهُمْ. But this is in issues in which there is a benefit for the parents. So now let's say the parents tell you, come mow my lawn. Then you have to obey them. The parents tell you, I need to go to visit my friend. And it's not going to cause harm for you. They're not telling you, come in the middle of the workday and get fired. No, they're telling you during your life, come give me a ride. You have to obey them. Right? Because this is where there is manfa'ah, there's benefit for the parents. Right? And they're not causing any real harm. Maybe they're annoying you. Maybe they're taking away your time. But that's not an excuse, right? And so you have to understand these different levels. When there's a benefit for the parent, you have to obey them in those circumstances. And in this situation, Ibn Taymiyyah also mentions, it's not permissible for anyone to force a child to marry someone, right? You can't force your children to marry a specific person. Of course, with the young daughter, the father has to agree to the marriage. But the wali, the guardian, the father has to agree to the marriage, but he can't force her to marry someone. And Ibn Taymiyyah said, it's not permissible to force someone to eat something they don't want to eat. Let's say you don't like a particular food. You can't force the person to eat it, rather than eat the food they want to eat. He said, and the bitterness of eating the food you don't like will last you 1 hour, but the bitterness of marrying someone you don't want to marry could last you a lifetime. So this is important circumstances for people to understand. But realize, throughout all of these examples, we still have to have birr. We still have to have piety to our parents, right? When the story, a man came to Imam Malik, and he said to him, I have my mother and my sister and my wife. And my mother prefers my sister to me. So every time I have money, every time I have something in my life, my mother commands me to give it to my sister. What do I do? Imam Malik said, إِنِّي أَرَىٰ أَلَّا تَغِيظَهَا وَتَخْلِصْ مِنْهَا بِمَا قَدِرْتْ. He said, I see that you don't harm her, don't harm your mother, don't confront her, don't be like, why are you doing this to me, and get into a fight with her. Don't do this, but get out of this situation however you can. Meaning, tell her, inshallah, I'll see what I can do, let me see what I... Because obviously, her making him give everything to his sister is not fair and not just. And he has a family, and he has a wife, and he has to spend on them. It's not, so you find a way to get out of the situation without harming your mother, without annoying her, without getting into a fight and yelling and screaming at her. In every circumstance in our relationship with our parents, we have to have birr. We have to treat them with excellence and kindness and love in every circumstance. And we see this with Prophet Ibrahim in the example we mentioned earlier. Every speech he says to his father, Ya Abati, my dearest father, as he speaks to him. And Allah tells us in the Quran, وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِاللَّهِ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. If your parents are striving, fighting, to make you worship other than Allah, the worst of all the sins, what does Allah tell you? فَلَا تُطَعْهُمَا. Don't obey them. وَصَاحِبَهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. but accompany them in this dunya, in this world, with excellence. Accompany them in this world with kindness. Don't obey them. They're trying to make you do the worst thing in the world. They're striving to make you do the worst thing in the world. Yes, don't obey them, but still be with them. Still be in their company. Still be dutiful to them. Still have excellence and love and mercy with them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us have excellence in our relationship with our parents and dutifulness to them. Inna Allahu malaikatahu yusalluna 'ala an-nabi, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu.